Magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. Alvin Litonwa po, naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga pastors ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa isang sermon series that we call The Gospel According to Mark. From the past couple of weeks, nasaksikan po natin ang kapangyarihan at otoridad ni Jesus over violent storms and evil spirits. Fear o takot ang kadalasang reaksyon ng mga tao when they witness Jesus' supernatural power. After Jesus supernaturally calmed a violent storm by the word of his command, great fear dawned on his disciples that led them to ask the question, sino ba itong mama na ito? Even the winds and waves obey him. When Jesus cast out an evil spirit or evil spirits from a man that no one can restrain for years, fear once again dawned on the citizens of the people of Decapolis that begged Jesus to leave the place. Ngayong araw na ito, malalaman natin kung anong magiging reaksyon ng dalawang individual na parehong nasa desperado at kritikal na kalagayan. Ano kaya mangingibabaw sa kanilang reaksyon? Takot ba o tiwala? In their desperate and critical circumstances, will they give in to fear or will exemplify faith? Friends, how about you? Do you find yourself in a desperate and critical circumstance right now? How have you been exemplifying lately? Is it faith or fear? Ang prayer ko po ngayong araw na ito is that we would find our hope in Christ alone, even in our desperate circumstances. Because Jesus is above all diseases and death. Our faith is well-founded in Him. Jesus is above all diseases and death. Our faith is well-founded in Him. I've divided this passage into three headings. Number one, an implored request, verses 21 to 24. Number two, an immediate recovery, verses 25 to 34. And number three, an impossible resurrection, verses 35 to 43. Tingnan po natin ang first point natin, an implored request. Basahin po natin ang verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him and he was beside the sea. Again, the story is picked up after Jesus has set a man free from demonic possession. Sa takot po ng mga tao or citizens ng Decapolis, they begged him na umalis ka na rito, bumalik ka na kung saan ka nang galing. Yun ang kanya. They were begging Jesus to leave. Kung gaano sila pinagtulakan ng mga taga Decapolis, gayon din naman ang pagtanggap sa kanila ng mga Jewish community. Sa baybayin pa lang, napansin na sila ng mga taong bayan. Sa baybayin pa lang, idinumog na nila si Jesus at ng kanyang mga disciples. Of course, this made sense. News about Jesus' healing, supernatural healing, casting out demons, have been widespread news sa kanilang lugar. At yun ang maraming dahilan kung bakit maraming pumunta roon at dinumog sila. Maraming gusto siguro nila maranasan ang milagro. O maaari siguro gusto nila masaksihan. Sa kalagitnaan ng dami ng tao na dumudumog kay Jesus Christ, may isang mama po na nakikipagsiksikan at pilit lumalapit kay Jesus. At sino itong mamang ito? Tingnan po natin yung verse 22 hanggang 23. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live." Itong mamang to ay isang synagogue ruler. Nang isang synagogue ruler po ay hindi ho scribe o Pharisee, bagamat siya would be considered as a religious leader. Sila ang tagapamahala ng physical management ng synagogue buildings at facilities. Sila din ang responsible sa pag-organize ng mga worship services. Ang isang synagogue ruler po ay mga taong ma-impluensya. Mga tao po na mataas ang estado sa buhay, may kaya sa buhay, sila ay respetado ng komunidad. And we can safely assume that along with power, popularity, and riches come with pride, arrogance, and self-entitlement. We also know from Jesus' previous encounters with the scribes and Pharisees, hindi naging mabuti ito. Actually, si Jesus po at ang kanyang mga disciples ay medyo mainit sa mga mata ng mga religious leaders. Ngunit, pansinin natin ang postura at ang pananalita ni Jairus na kung saan isang religious leader sa sitwasyon na ito. Ano ang postura niya? Lumuhod siya sa harapan ni Jesus at nagmakaawa na sumama sa kanya para mailagay niya, maipatong niya ang kanyang kamay sa kanyang anak para gumaling kasi ang anak niya sa kalagayan ngayon ay nag-aagaw buhay na. Hindi po nabanggit ni Mark at sa ibang accounts ni kagaya ng kay Matthew at saka Luke ang dahilan kung paano siya nag-come up sa ganitong klaseng kapamamaraan ng pagpapagaling ni Jesus. Mayroon siguro narinig lang niya sa mga kwento-kwento na kung saan si Jesus ay nagle-lay hands at gumagaling yung tao. Marahil siguro nasaksihan niya rin. We don't know. Bagamat the laying of hands was common practice for both Jewish and pagan circles that symbolizes a transfer of active energy. Actually, makikita rin po natin yan sa chapter 6 na gagawin ni Jesus. Pero one thing's certain. He probably heard that Jesus miraculously healed many people and maybe even saw him laying hands. Kaya siguro ganun po ang itsura ng kanyang request. Kung ikaw po ay tatay na may batang anak na babae, mas mauunawaan po ninyo ang kalagayan ni Jairus eh. Isipin mo ang baby girl. Sabi natin, baby girl mo, mari talagang baby o talagang tawag mo lang baby girl. Itong baby girl mo na madalas mong kalaro, kinatutuwaan, pinanggigigilan, at isa sa mga dahilan kung bakit nananabik kang umuwi yung baby girl mong yon. Alam na alam mo kapag siya ay malalagay sa panganib o nasa panganib, gagawin mo ang lahat para protektahan siya, malagay siya sa mabuting kalagayan, siya ay malagay sa mabuting kalusugan, kahit maubusan ka ng pera, kahit malagay ka sa alanganin, kahit maitaya mo ang iyong buhay. That's how valuable sa iyo ang iyong baby girl. Ito, mga kaibigan, ang kalagayan ng tatay na si Jairus. Itong tatay na ito, walang naitulong ang kanyang kaalaman, walang naitulong ang kanyang pera, walang naitulong ang kanyang impluensya upang mapagaling ang kanyang baby girl. Now listen, para sa isang magulang na makita ang kanilang mga anak na may sakit, ay katakot-takot na pag-alala at pag-aasikaso ang nangyayari. I should know, ganun po ang aking nanay. Ngunit, ang magulang na makita na umuungol at humihiyaw ang kanilang anak sa sakit na dulot ng isang karamdaman na walang lunas ay parang isang bangungot na nagkatotoo. If you're a parent and witnessing this, it's torturous. Wala ka nang magawa kung hindi umiyak. I could have imagined ang scenery ng situation na ito. Daan-daang tao, nagsisiksikan, nagsisigawan, tawag ng tawag sa pangalan ni Jesus. Lahat pilit na lumalapit sa kanya, lahat humahawak sa kanya. At ang mga disciple naman yung mga nagmistulang bodyguard na nakapaikot sa kanya at dahan-dahan silang umuusad para hindi makadaan lang si Jesus Christ. Nang biglang lumitaw sa harapan niya si Jairus. Lumuhod. I could have imagined the scenario, no? Biglang lumabas si Jairus at yung tao nakilala siya dahil nga sikat siya. Biglang tumahimik at nagbungulan. Bulungan. Si Jairus. Nasa paa ni Jesus. Nakikiusap. Nag-aagaw buhay na ang kanyang anak. Humihingi ng tulong. Listen, we have seen several times that Jesus niyaya niya ang kanyang mga disciples na humiwalay sa crowd dahil pagod na sila or siya. O dahil sa patuloy ang pagdumog ng tao sa kanya. O dahil meron siyang gustong ibang puntahan na lugar na kailangan marinig ang mabuting balita. At ang sitwasyon nilang yun would have been the best time to seclude themselves from people. Kakarating lang nila sa Gerasene, ilang oras sila nagsagwan, marahil pagod na sila, gutom na sila. I could imagine yung mga disciples, ana si Peter, siguro mairitang mairita na. Asang ingay pa ng mga tao. But despite the overwhelming crowd, exhaustion, and busyness need Jesus, look how He responded to this implored request. Tingnan po ninyo in verse 24. And He went with him, and a great crowd followed Him and thronged about Him. Friends, this text tells us that Jesus is remarkably compassionate. He is interruptible. Ano ibig sabihin ko when I say interruptible? Pwede siyang i-interrupt, no? Napakamaawain ni Kristo sa mga tao who desperately needed help. Kahit sa kalagitnaan ng ingay at dami ng tao at kabisihan ni Jesus, si Jesus ay may panahon na pakinggan, tugunan ang request na nag-iisang mamang ito. He was willing to be inconvenienced in order to help someone in need. Friends, for those of us who are following Christ, are you willing to be inconvenienced in order to help a brother or a sister who desperately needed help? That's something to chew on.
Mga kaibigan, dapat magkaroon tayo ng kumpiyansa na nadidinig ni Jesus ang mga individual nating panalangin. Kahit milyong-milyong tao ay sabay-sabay na tumatawag sa Kanya. Nakakamangha po, hindi ba? You, isang person, crying out to the Lord bilang anak niya, praying. Samantalang milyon-milyong tao sabay-sabay nananalangin yan. Yet Jesus, God, hears your prayers. Friends, be amazed. Mga kaibigan, dapat hindi po sumagi sa ating isipan na dahil sa lala ng ating kalagayan, dahil sa dinami-dami ng ating nagawang mali o kasalanan, ay hindi na tayo makakalapit kay Jesus o sa Panginoon para humingi ng saklolo. Hindi po. In fact, yan ang best time na lumapit sa Panginoon. Sabi sa Psalm 103 verse 8, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love." Mga kaibigan, maring tayo lumalapit sa Kanya sa panalangin dahil alam Niya ang ating pangangailangan at nais Niya itong tugunin ayon sa kalooban Niya. Huwag ho tayong magdalawang isip. We have every reason to be confident to approach the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. Kasi si Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And so Jesus followed Jairus to his house. What's interesting dito, even the crowd followed Jairus papunta sa bahay niya. Maring gusto siguro nilang masaksihan yung milagrong ito. Okay? And so they went, but something, pagpunta nila, something interrupted their journey. Or rather, someone interrupted their journey. Which is yung point number two po natin. An immediate recovery. Basahin po natin verse 25 hanggang verse 26. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse. Now it seems like naputol po yung kwento ni Mark dito, no? Patungkol kay Jesus at kay Jairus. At meron siyang pinasok na panibagong istorya. Now bakit ginawa po ng manunulat na Mark ito? Ang tawag po ng mga scholars dito ay Markan sandwich. Markan kasi si Markan nagsulat. Markan sandwich. Ito ay isang literary style na madalas naggawin ni Mark sa account na ito. Mark combines two stories into one. He interrupts the first story by adding another story in the middle and ends by continuing yung unang story. So ganun po yung style niya. So first story, second story, first story. So para siyang sandwich, okay? Ang story sa gitna ay ang susi upang maunawaan natin ang aral at emphasis ng dalawang storyang ito. So in short, these are combined stories to emphasize kung ano ba talaga ang gusto ituro ng manunulat. So verse 25, tayo po ay pinakilala sa isang babae na may health condition. Siya po ay dinurugo for the past 12 years. It was believed to be a menstrual hemorrhage. Bukod sa paghihirap niya sa kanyang kondisyon, naghirap din po siya for 12 years sa kamay ng iba't ibang klaseng manggagamot. Naghirap din po siya for 12 years sa kakasubok ng iba't ibang uri ng therapy, kakasubok ng iba't ibang klaseng medisina or potion, and even have gone through medical procedures sa kilalang mga hospital sa panahon nila. And as a result, walang nakatulong sa kanyang karamdaman, hindi humihinto. Sa halip, nakasama pa itong mga ito. Marahil na ito ay nakaranas ng matinding infection over the years. Nakakaawa naman ang babaeng ito. We can see na naubos na po ang lahat ng kanyang resources sa pagpapagamot niya sa loob ng 12 years na ito. You could have imagined the physical pain and agony na nararamdaman niya and the frustrations na akala niya gagaling na. May nirefer na isang doktor, she hopes on it. May nirefer na isang medisina, she hopes on it. And then wala. Can you imagine that frustration? Bukod po sa kanyang gynecological problem, she also suffered social rejection and aggression. Kasi according sa law, sa Leviticus chapter 15, she is ceremonially unclean. Ayon naman sa Leviticus chapter 17, in blood is life. If one loses blood through menstruation, panganak, o pagdurugo, dulot ng hemorrhage, it symbolizes a loss of life. Ang blood loss ay isang tanda ng kamatayan. At ang kamatayan po ay kabaliktaran ng lahat ng what is clean. That's why they have considered blood loss as unclean. At dahil po sa ceremonially unclean, itong babaeng ito, hindi siya pwedeng pumasok sa temple. Her presence sa public is not allowed kung hindi niya sasabihin na siya ay unclean. Isipin mo yung kahihiyan na pinasok na to. Hindi ka pwede pumunta ng mall, hindi ka pwede pumunta ng park, hindi ka pumunta sa mga public places until sasabihin mo sa mga tao, nga pala, unclean ako. And can you imagine the shame? The humiliation na nararamdaman niya? With her condition, walang gustong lumapit o humawak sa kanya. Walang magtatangkang yumakap o kamayan man lang siya. Wala marahil ang gusto tumulong sa kanya o tumanggap ng tulong sa kanya because of physical contact. Kasi kung sino man ang humawak sa kanya, becomes also ceremonially unclean. At kapag nangyari po yun, these people or person should go through a series of purifications. At inaabot po ng mga ilang araw po yun. Dahil sa efforts dito sa ating gobyerno sa UAE, the efforts na paglabanan ang pagkalat ng COVID-19, our government has set helpful restrictions and policies in place that we at Crossroads Church of Dubai are happy to comply. Ano po yung mga policies po rito? Kagaya ng pagsuot ng mask, pag-regularly paghugas ng mga kamay, ang 2-meter social distancing. Yun po yung mga policies and restrictions that we happily comply. Now, social distancing is difficult. Aminin po natin, it's difficult. At ang isa sa mga dahilan kaya mahirap ito sundin dahil nilikha tayo ng Diyos to be a relational and social beings. Part of being a relational and social being is the desire to be physically near to someone, the desire to be physically touched by others. Ang mga hugs and handshakes, ang mga cheek kisses, ang mga nose kisses, lahat pong yan are ways that we express love, acceptance, and unity. Physical nearness and touches provide the feeling of comfort, security, and assurance. The absence of these make us feel rejected, isolated, and lonely. Mga kaibigan, isipin niyo po to. 12 years, isang dosenang taon na pinapractice ng Jewish community ang social distancing hindi sa bawat isa, kundi exclusively sa mga babaeng katulad niya. The community is socially distancing themselves away from her. Could you imagine yung sorrow and rejection and sadness na nararamdaman ng babaeng ito? Kung may asawa siya, siguradong hiniwalayan na po siya. Kung buhay pa ang mga magulang at kapatid niya, malamang ang tingin sa kanya isang pabigat at pinabayaan na siya. She is socially an outcast. She was unhealthy, unwanted, poor, and lonely. Hindi lang siya may problema, siya ang problema. Loved ones had given up on her. She has given up on herself. She has given up all hopes of being cured. She has given up all hopes of being normal, of being a wife, of being a mother. Maybe she has given up on life itself. Until verse 27. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made well. And immediately, a favorite word in Mark, immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Now, we do not know yung details about yung narinig niya patungkol kay Jesus or yung mga reports na narinig niya patungkol kay Jesus. Maring narinig niya na itong mamang ito is a miracle working man, so that got her interested. O maring narinig na din siguro na in-echo na nagbalita yung gospel message na tinuturo ni Jesus. We don't know. We're not sure. But whatever the details were, these gave her hope as she immediately rushed to the place na kung saan si Jesus is situated. Since madaling tao, she thought that this would be a great opportunity na hindi siya makilala, hindi siya mapansin, a great opportunity na lumapit kay Jesus because she believes na mahawakan lang niya yung damit, sa bad ng likod lang para hindi ako makita ni Jesus, gagaling na ako. Maybe yun ang sinasabi niya. She still have this feeling of shame and rejected, and that's why she's trying to be discreet. Now, ang kanyang faith dito ay may halong superstitious belief. So she discreetly approaches Jesus sa likuran at hinawakan ng kanyang damit. At nangyari nga po ang inaasahan. She immediately felt that she was cured. She was cleansed. She felt clean. Friends, do you see the pattern that Mark is doing here? Do you see the pattern that Jesus is doing here? Jesus continues to reach out sa mga outcasts, sa mga lost cause, sa mga rejects ng society. Si Levi, isang korap na tax collector, pinili niya bilang isa sa mga sa 12 disciples niya. Yeah, Jesus had a meal, not with scribes and Pharisees, but with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus has cleansed a man who is possessed by spirits and used him as an evangelist sa isang Gentile region. Jesus is known for reaching the outcasts, the hopeless, the rejects of society. In fact, someone said na ang Mark chapter 5 daw is called the Saint Jude chapter. Bakit? Because he is the saint of hopeless causes. Yung daw ang tawag sa Mark chapter 5, Saint Jude chapter daw, santo daw ng mga walang pag-asa. Friends, I do not know your situation right now. Maring ang tingin mo sa sarili mo is a hopeless cause. Isang tao na napakadumi dahil siguro sa pagkalulong mo sa droga o pagkalulong mo sa pornografiya o pagkalulong mo sa alcohol. O maring maring na-involve ka sa isang holy relationship. Or maybe because you lost your purity and you've been jumping from one relationship after another and you feel na I'm not worthy. Or maybe you have lost the trust of your bosses, your colleagues, your teachers, your classmates, your friends. You lost the trust of your parents. You lost the trust of your children because of your lies, because of your betrayal, because of your broken promises and destructive habits. And you feel that I'm a hopeless case na, Pastor.
Wala na akong pag-asa. Walang pag-asa mga taong katulad ko. At dahil sa mga ito, the people who you care the most are hurt, are broken, are crushed, at ang tinginan nila sa iyo ngayon ay isang lost cause at isang pabigat. Isang taong wala ng pag-asa. They tried. They tried. You know they tried. But they just can't. True to it, because they don't have the power to change you. They don't have the power to cleanse you. They don't have the power to change your heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Sadly, probably they've distanced themselves from you. Hindi na nila siguro nire-replyan ang mga messages at calls mo. Hindi ka na siguro kinakausap. O kaya naman, pag nakakausap mo naman, parang walang kagana-gana kausap. O papiloso po lagi ang kanilang sagot. Friends, if this is you, if you think you are a hopeless cause, listen to this, there is hope in Jesus. There is hope in Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus can make you clean? Do you believe that Jesus can make you whole? Do you believe that Jesus can restore you? Kasi mga kaibigan, walang lost cause kay Jesus. Gaya ng babaeng ito who lost all hopes and found her whole ultimate hope in Jesus. Kaibigan, siguro ang kailangan mong gawin ay yung ginawa ng babae na ito sa verse 27. She heard about the reports of Jesus and then she went and approached Jesus. Maari siguro you've heard reports patungkol kay Jesus na kung saan binago yung mga kaibigan mo. And so what you did is you tried to listen a lot of this online preachers sa YouTube and you're trying to figure out, sino ba talaga ang tamang Diyos? Sabi ng isang pastor ito, sabi ng isang mga ngaral ganito. Ano ba talaga? If that is you, then I encourage you to keep studying the Bible. Keep investigating Christianity. Kung ikaw ay taga Dubai, please reach out to us. Our members and our pastors are happy to talk to you. Please write us by visiting our website, crossroadsdubai.org. That's crossroadsdubai.org. Later on, I will share to us how we can be made clean ni Jesus. O maaari nandito ko ngayon at mananampalataya ka. You're a Christian. At dahil sa sunod-sunod na transition sa buhay mo, gawa ng pandemya, gaya ng nawalan ka ng trabaho, nabawasan ng significantly ang sweldo mo, o tinamaan ng karamdaman o sakit ang iyong pamilya, ang iyong asawa, ang pamilya sa Pilipinas, iyong mga anak. O maaaring nalilito ka na kung ano ang kalooban sa iyo ng Panginoon dahil sunod-sunod na nga yung mga concerns na ito. At maaaring lahat ng ito ay nagdulot ng matinding takot, pangangamba sa puso mo, at sa halip na tumakbo ka papalapit kay Jesus, eh napapansin mo dahan-dahan ka nang tumatakbo palayo kay Jesus. Dahan-dahan na nanlalamig ang iyong puso. Friends, be reminded, our hope is not found on the things of this world. It is not found sa pagkakaroon ng magandang trabaho sa Dubai. It's not found sa pagkakaroon ng 2-year visa. It's not found sa mabuting kalusugan o makahanap ng magandang uuwian na flat. Our hope is found in Christ alone. He is Lord over all circumstances. Our faith is well-founded in Him. From the time na hinawakan ng babae ang damit, Jesus immediately naramdaman niya na siya'y gumaling. Naramdaman niya. At sa verse 30 to 32, naramdaman din ni Jesus. Let us read that. Verse 30. And Jesus, perceiving in himself the power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around and to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Nung naramdaman ni Jesus na may kapangyarihan na lumabas sa kanya, tinanong niya ang kanyang mga disciples, "Sino yung humawak sa akin?" And could have imagined, yung disciples, again, nagmimistulang mga bodyguard at kinokontrol, nagka-crowd control sila kung sino siya. I gotta imagine them saying, "Ah, talaga, Jesus? Sa dinami-dami na pwede mong tanongin yan, natatanongin mo, sino humahawak sa'yo?" "Eh, lahat! Lahat ho, Jesus! Lahat humahawak sa'yo!"
Can you imagine the sarcasm and the frustration probably na nangyayari dito? But of course, that did not brush off Jesus. He kept on looking and looking and looking. Totoo naman, madami naman humahawak kay Jesus, pero isa lang humawak kay Jesus. Isa lang humawak na may pananampalataya sa Kanya. And that is this woman. Now listen, ang pagtanong po ni Jesus sa disciples kung sino ang humawak sa Kanya ay hindi tanong ng kamangmangan. Okay? Of course, Jesus knows He's the Son of God. He is God. He's omniscient. I believe He asked this question upang mapalabas niya sa public ang babaeng ito to share the miraculous healing that was done privately. Why? Because Jesus wants to get the glory sa situation na yon. And also, could it be that Jesus did this intentionally para madinig ni Jairus? Kasi meron siyang tinuturo kay Jairus? At gano'n na po nangyari. If you would read verse 32 to 33, nungaba sa babae and shared to everyone what had happened. Verse 34, ito ang sinabi ni Jesus. Daughter, He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Ang pagtawag ni Jesus sa kanya ng daughter is the first time na nabanggit po in the New Testament. In fact, the whole Bible. Which signifies her new relationship kay Jesus. Notice that Jesus attributed her healing sa kanyang faith at hindi sa paghawak ng kanyang damit. So hindi po totoo yung mga practices na mga kakilala po natin na kapag hinawakan mo ang damit ng isang estatwang santo na ito, eh gagaling po tayo. Hindi po totoo na kung saan na ipapahid mo yung panyo mo sa isang krus, eh may pagpapala o may dalang blessing na mangyayari. O kaya naman yung pagsawsaw sa daliri ng isang sa isang batsa ng tubig na binasbasan, eh magpapagaling, magmakakalinis, magkakaroon po ng pagpapala. Hindi po totoo ito. Hindi nga totoo sa time ni Jesus, walang kamangyarihan yung damit ni Jesus. Hindi po. Ito'y superstitious belief. Bagamat, yung pananampalataya ng babae na ito, kahit na hindi po ito buo or fully informed about kung sino si Jesus Christ, she believed in the very person na nagpagaling sa kanya. According po kay Walvoord at saka kay Zuck, sa kanilang Bible Knowledge Commentary, faith, confident trust, derives its value not from one who expresses it, but from the one in which it rests. D.A. Carson, similarly, in similar lines, also said in a conference sa Gospel Coalition, sabi niya, it is not the intensity of our faith, but the object of our faith that saves. It's true. It's the woman's childlike faith in the object of her faith, Jesus Christ, that caused her to be healed, that caused her to be saved. Her faith was real. Now I know when it comes to prayer, let me give an opinion pagdating sa mga prayers natin. I know when we present our prayer request sa Panginoon, we pray in two ways, and yung two ways na yan are two tensions. Una, we pray that God would answer our prayers. Lord, I believe that answer this prayer, Lord, and that's okay. We should do that. We can do that. Okay? God has mandated us to do that. Ask whatever you desire in faith. Pangalawa, we also pray that God's will be done. Kagaya ng sinabi ni Jesus Christ, a garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, Lord, but your will. Now, these are the two ways that we pray. Lord, grant us this request. Lord, grant it according to your will, which means you're open na kung hindi. He's sovereign over all. Great. Friends, listen, tama yan. Okay? So, yun yung tinatawag na praying boldly at saka praying, surrendering completely. Okay? Now, we believe that God is sovereign and we pray for His will to be done. Tama po yan. Pero let us not be quick, friends, to stop praying boldly. We should continue to pray boldly that God would favorably answer our prayers. Sometimes naihinto na po tayo, Lord, I pray na tumaas ang sweldo. Pero Lord, kung ano man ang kalooban ninyo, and then we're quick. Maybe you're just like me, you're quick to go to the sovereignty of God. And yes, that's true. But sometimes we miss out on it. If we are to grow our trust and hope and faith in Jesus Christ, you have to have faith. You have to believe like a faith ng isang bata. Na paniwalang paniwala na pwedeng gawin na pang ito. What have you been praying for lately? Are you praying with doubts? Are you praying with faith? In faith? I encourage you, continue to pray. And of course, we pray this in our hearts na kung ano man ang kalooban ng Panginoon masusunod. But let us grow in the area of praying, giving petitions, knowing that God is a God who can grant them. This woman prayed boldly. And she has become the model of prayer. Kanino? Kay Jairus. Now you're seeing kung ano yung purpose ng sandwich na ito. A faith that believes that Jesus can do the impossible, which is number 3 and last. An impossible request. So verse 35, pinamalita sa ng kasambahay ni Jairus na pumanaw na ang kanyang anak at huwag nang gambalain si Jesus. Now, there were no records sa accounts ni Mark, Matthew, at saka Luke about Jairus' reaction. Maaari siguro he's devastated kaya hindi siya nakareact or nakapagsalita. Ang kaninang nagmamadali na mama na isama si Jesus sa kanilang bahay para pagalingin ang kanyang anak, ngayon ay nanglumo at nawalan na ng pag-asa, parang nawalan ng buhay. Si Jesus sa halip na kausapin ang tagapamalita to clarify kung ano nangyari sa bata, went straight to Jairus and spoke to Jairus these strong, assuring words. Ito'y sinabi niya sa verse 36. Do not fear, only believe. Could you imagine, di ba nagmamadali yung ale na ipamalita kay Jairus? Wala na si Elisa, wala na si Maria, wala na si Clara, wala na siya. And then from there natulala na siya, and I can imagine si Jesus Christ nung narinig yun biglang lumapit. Jairus, don't fear, only believe. Okay? Don't fear, only believe. Now why am I saying these are assuring words? Kasi sa verse 36, these are present imperatives. Now, na kung babasahin natin ito in its form sa present imperatives, ito po ang tunog niya. Jairus, stop fearing, just keep on believing. Jairus, stop fearing, just keep on believing. Nandiyan ka na. This is not the time to stop. Believe. Nakita mo yung nangyayari sa babae? Believe. Now, this is intense. Really intense. Kasi kung isipin mo, ang cause ng delay ni Jesus is yung babaeng nagpagaling. If you're Jairus, siguro you're tempted siguro to think, kasalanan mo yan, imbis na, kung naghintay ka na lang 20 taon, ng 12 years, isang naghintay ka lang ilang minuto, ano ko yung aking anak? Ngayon, wala na siya. Or maybe he could have gone up to Jesus, bakit? Di ba, ako nauna rito, ba't inuna mo yun? But no, hindi niya ginawa yun. This is where Jairus' faith in Christ is tested. Is he going to focus on the current circumstance of his daughter's death or trust Jesus' word? Will he continue trusting Jesus in a hopeless situation or will he give in to fear that leads to doubt his word? Mga kaibigan, maaaring ito din ang hamon sa atin ngayong oras na ito as we go through itong mga crucial times na ating buhay. Are we going to focus on our current circumstance? Or are we going to trust in God's Word? Are we going to respond in faith or in fear? Will we continue trusting Jesus in hopeless situations? Or will we give in to fear that leads to doubting His Word? And once we doubt God's Word, we start to trust the things and methodologies of this world. Friends, don't go there. Let me echo Jesus' words. Friends, stop fearing. Keep believing. Okay, you're walking faithfully sa Panginoon ngayon habang nag-aantay ka ng trabaho, and there may mga alok sa'yo ng mga trabaho na kung saan alam mong compromising. Stop fearing. Continue. Just keep on believing.
O kaya naman may temptation na kung saan mapabilis yung proseso na ng pagkuha mo ng trabaho o pagstay mo sa bansa na ito, and nag-aalala ka na kung paano yung safety mo, assurance mo, and from there is temptation. Aba, kung mas madali yun, mapapatawad ng bang mukhang bibigyan na. Listen, stop fearing, friend. Just keep on believing.
Naku, sa tingin ko naman, mahal niya ako kahit unbeliever siya, hindi siya Christian, pero mukhang nagkakaigyan ako.
Listen, friend, stop fearing, just keep on believing. Kulang yung pera namin. Tapos ganito pa ang trato sa akin ng kumpanya na ito. E kunin ko na lang to, pero friend, don't take that money. Don't steal, don't cheat. Stop fearing. Keep on believing.
And I continue, I pray that these words of Jesus would echo to our ears and our hearts as we go out this week and face these temptations and circumstances. Stop fearing. Keep on believing.
And in verse 37, we see Jairus chose to continue believing kasi sinama niya si Jesus sa kanilang bahay. Look at verse 38 to 40. And piling-pili lang ang sinama ni Jesus na disciples niya, si Peter lang and si John tsaka si James. Verse 38, they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing around and loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, but put them all outside and took the child's father and mother who were with him and went in where the child was.
Pagdating nila sa bahay ni Jairus, ang mga tao rin na nag-iiyakan at naghahagulgulan, hindi po ito yung mga tahimik na ito, yung mga hiyawan na iyak po talaga.
Tapos ang narinig ni Jesus narinig nila na sinabi ni Jesus na natutulog lang ang bata, biglang nagtawa na naman ang mga tao.
Now, bakit ang bilis naman ata ng transition from hiyawan to tawanan?
Well, the only reason is this, because they're actually professional mourners. Professional mourners.
O mga professional na tagadalamhati.
A Jewish rabbi would recommend na pag may namatayan ng isang Jewish family, na mag-arkala sila ng dalawang flute players at isang tagapagkanta. At least para sa mga taong mga pamilyang mahihirap. Kadalasan dito, mga babae ang inaarkila rito at sila mismo binabayaran para umiyak to set yung mourning mood.
Now, if you're a younger generation here, probably you're so weirded out. What? Professional mourners? That's crazy. I know. We find it crazy even in our age. But do you know that professional mourners are not new in the Philippines?
Hindi ho bago sa ating mga Pinoy ito. There was a time na halos lahat ng mga families would hire professional mourners para makatulong sa pag-iyak ng mga namatayan.
It's true. I've witnessed it and I still find it humorous.
Kasi because of yung pagiging fake or synthetic na mga umiiyak, minsan sila pa yung mga malalakas na umiiyak.
May palabas nga sa movie ni Sharon Cuneta noong 2003 na kung saan ang title ay Crying Ladies, which talks about a life of a professional mourner. Now, if you want to take a glimpse of kung itsura ng ating culture, probably that would be now I don't want to recommend this movie, I've not seen it, but yeah, that's somehow yung life ng isang professional mourner.
So though these professional mourners immediately turned their lament to laughter. When Jesus says in verse 39, she was just sleeping, they were a bunch of fakes. Kaya sila tumawa. They really laugh.
No, they're just sleeping. And
tulog daw. Why? Because they're not dumb. They're realists. They're professionals. They know a dead child when they see one. They know kung talagang dead na siya or dead na kung saan, brain dead lang. They know. But their laughter was a sign of doubt and their ignorance of who Jesus is. Thus, in the midst of an atmosphere of doubt, listen to this, Jairus, witnessing and hearing this ridiculous, seems like a ridiculous statement to Jesus, Jairus is fighting fear.
Jairus is fighting doubt and kept on believing. And how did he fight fear? This is how he fought fear. By trusting Jesus' word. Friends, that's how we fight worriness, anxiety, doubt, and fear. By trusting God's word.
Of course, alam ni Jesus na pumanaw ang batang ito. Of course, he was not thinking na nakomatos lang itong batang ito at gigising.
No! He knows he's dead. Why? Because sleeping here means that her death is reversible. That it's temporal. Several times sa Bible, ang word na sleep have been used towards sa mga saints na yumauna. You can see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ are alive. They are those who have fallen asleep. Why? Because it's temporary. Sleep literally is momentary. Tulog ka ng 8, gising ka ng 5. You see that? Kasi sleep, Jesus used that word intentionally kasi it's momentary. Well, because also Jesus knows that He will revive her. You see that in 41 to 43. Taking her by the hand, said, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them no one should know this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Pagkatapos palabasin ng mga professional mourners, Jesus on the bedside touched her and said in Aramaic, Talita kumi, hindi po ito magic incantation, hindi po ito yung mga nasa probinsya, yung mga matatanda na tinatawag na prayer na bulong, hindi po ito bulong. This means little girl or little lamb. Wake up! This was an ordinary phrase na ginagamit ng mga nanay para gisingin ang kanilang mga little girls sa umaga para pabangunin. There is a sense of tenderness and gentleness and compassion and lambing. And we see Mark's favorite words of verse 42. Immediately, the little girl was raised from the dead at lahat sila'y namangha. Kasi they witnessed the impossible. We are not sure why Jesus instructed them not to tell anyone. So verse 43, maari para siguro na hindi ma-attract ang mga tao sa kanya with wrong motivations. At ang instructions na pakainin po siya ay ebidensya na siya ay tunay na nabuhay. It also displays of Jesus' love and compassion sa batang ito. Mga kaibigan, kung papansinin natin, maraming pagkakatulad ang babae at ang batang ito. Una, pareho silang babae. Parehong malubha ang kanilang karamdaman. Ang karamdaman ng babae at ang edad ng batang ito ay parehong 12 years. Both of them are ceremonially unclean. Blood loss sa babae as Leviticus 15 and bangkay na bata sa Numbers chapter 19. Pareho silang nasa sitwasyon na walang sino man ang pwedeng tumulo ni ang sarili nila, hindi nila kayang tulungan. Both of them are hopeless and will face death. Mga kaibigan, as much as it is interesting for us to compare and contrast ang similarities ng dalawang babaeng ito, I need to tell you this, we too are very similar sa kanila. We too are very similar sa kanila. Gaya ng dalawang babaeng ito, malubha din ang ating kalagayan, not because of disease. It's far worse than that. Malubha ang ating kalagayan, hindi dahil sa karamdaman, kung hindi sa kasalanan. Dahil tayo ay likas ng makasalanan, patuloy tayo magkakasala, magre-rebelde, susuway at lalabanan ng Diyos at ang kanyang kalooban. Ang tawag po sa atin ay mga kaaway ng Diyos. Tayo ay marumi sa kanyang harapan. At gaya ng dalawang babae, tayo po ay haharap sa kamatayan. Kagaya ng kondisyon ng bata ito, tayo ay spiritually dead. Dahil ito ang kabayaran ng kasalanan, walang hanggang kamatayan, tayo'y haharap sa eternal na kaparusahan ng isang banal na Diyos. Gaya ng dalawang babae ito, wala tayong kakayanan, linisin ang ating mga kasalanan, walang pulis, walang abogado, walang doktor, walang pastor ang kayang tumulong sa ating kalagayan. No man has the power to cleanse our sins. No man. Except the Son of Man. God, in His loving kindness, sent His Son Jesus to give hope to the hopeless, to cleanse the unclean, to give life to those who are dead. He lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father, a life of holiness. Jesus was falsely accused and was sentenced to death by the very people He came to seek and save. On that cross, Jesus took our uncleanliness, took our sin, took our shame, and on that cross He experienced the full wrath of God because of our sins in our place. Jesus died, but He did not remain dead, and on the third day had risen from the grave. Nabuhay na muli. And this is the reason why may pag-asa tayo mga kapatid. Nabuhay si Kristo, we have hope because He has defeated death. Death cannot touch Him anymore. Sin has been destroyed and Satan as well. At sino man, kahit gaano karumi sa kasalanan, kapag nagsisi sa kasalanan, pag ikaw ay nagsisi sa kasalanan mo, have placed your faith, your trust on Jesus and His work on the cross, you will be cleansed from your sins. You'll have eternal life. You will become part of God's family. He will call you daughter. He will call you son. Friends, let's stop trying to remedy our situation. Ang ating kalagayan, kagaya ng ginawa ng babaeng ito, o kagaya ng ginawa ni Jairus. The only way for us to be restored and cleansed and forgiven is by trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I urge you, friends, repent from your sins and trust Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross for your salvation. Now, anong na-accomplish, Pastor? Anong na-accomplish ni Mark sa kanyang sandwich? Sa sandwich yan ang dalawang storya. Wag una, si Jairus at ang babae ay may interesting comparison. Hindi lang naman yung dalawang babae ito may comparison. Let's compare also Jairus at ang babaeng ito. Si Jairus ay may pangalan, katungkulan at yaman. Ang babae ay hindi binanggit ang pangalan sa story dahil marahil hindi siya kilala. Siya ay hindi kilala kasi dahil wala siyang posisyon. Dahil wala siyang pangalan, hindi siya kilala. Kung hindi, ito masakit dito, nakikilala lamang siya ng mga tao dahil sa kanyang kahihiyan at karamdaman. Doon siya kilala. But she has exemplified genuine faith despite her gender. Uncleanliness and shame, hindi ito nakapagpigil sa kanya from touching, approaching, going to Jesus. Regardless, she is humiliated. As a result, she was healed. It was the object of her faith that mattered, not its intensity. Jairus had learned what it means to have a genuine faith from this woman. Kung meron man silang pagkakaparehas ay yung kanilang kalagayan. Both are desperate. Both are in desperate circumstances that found their hope only in Jesus Christ. Friends, I don't know how desperate your situation is right now, but if you are indeed in a very desperate situation, be reminded that our hope in this life and death is found only in Jesus alone. So friends, stop fearing, but continue trusting. Continue trusting Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is above all diseases and death. Our faith is well founded in Him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your cleansing blood, your wonder working power through the blood of Jesus Christ have cleansed us from our sins. And we will be eternally grateful. I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters who are here, who are listening to this, who are discouraged, who are hurting, who are in situations right now na masasabing critical or desperate. I pray in their desperation that they would cry out to you. I pray that they, in their desperation, that they would help fight fear. Fear on their current circumstances, And because of that fear, I pray that you would protect them, Panginoon, na hindi sila mahulog sa kasalanan. Help them, help me, help us to stop fearing, but to continue trusting, putting our faith in Jesus, because you are our hope, you are our joy, you are our overcoming King, you are Lord above all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.